General Assistant Department, number one speaking.
Hello, this is number two.
Picking ya.
These are the men from the ministry.
We present the men from the ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of the government service. Men who are often compared to corset fitters. They can always push a problem out of sight by pulling a few strings. The atmosphere in the General Assistance Department is hushed and tense. Secretary Mildred Mervyn watches wide-eyed as Executive Richard Lamb conducts a highly involved experiment in the botanical field.
She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. No, she loves me not. Mildred, there's something wrong with these flowers.
Oh, well, don't go off pop at me, Mr. Lamb. I didn't make the flipping things. You want to write to the plastic potted plug people.
Yes, well, I think I'll have just one more try.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no. I've had just about enough of you playing with me mesembryanthemums.
Mildred, I was not.
Oh, mesembryanthemums, Mr. Lamb, in easy words that you can understand, is that pretty coloured flower with the thick leaves and old banks together.
I'll have that one.
Ooh, naughty, naughty, don't snatch. Ooh. Now, look what you've made me go and do. Oh, our one and only office vase. Smashed to smithereens, it's not fair.
Oh, Mildred, please, please don't cry. Mildred, I can't bear it. I tell you what I'll do.
Yes?
I'll help you clear up this mess. And tomorrow I'll bring you a brand new jam jar from home. My breakfast rhubarb and ginger jam is almost finished.
Oh, Mr. Lamb, you are sweet, really. I suppose I was a bit of a butterfingers.
Right, well, come on. Let's get this cleared up before Mr. Lennox Brown comes in.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Oh, shivers, most of it's got under his desk.
Oh, well, hang on. I'll give you a hand.
Ooh, it's a bit cramped under here. Oh, you better mind your head.
Oh, Mildred, my head.
Well, I warned you, didn't I?
Oh, stars. Stars. I'm seeing stars, Mildred. Hundreds of them.
Quick, Mr. Lamb. Head between your knees. That's yes. It now. There, I'll give it a good rub.
Morning, number one.
Good gracious, what on earth is going on here?
Well, you see, it's like this, number one.
No, don't tell me. I think I can guess. Mildred, I'm ashamed of you.
No, number one, you've got it all wrong. You see, I've been meddling with Mildred's mesembryanthemum.
That's what I was afraid of.
No. And then Mildred dropped the vase, you see, and, well, I helped her pick up the pieces.
And then he bumped his thingy on the table.
Come along, both. Look, Mildred, I suggest you brush yourself down and make yourself respectable and then go and...
Yes, Mr. Lennox Brown?
See what's happened to the tea. Now run along, would you?
Rightio, then. Oh, by the way, don't be too hard on poor Mr. Lamb, will you? He's not himself today.
Oh, who is he then?
I mean he's feeling poorly. He's been smitten.
He's been what?
Smitten. Oh, he's been bitten by the bug.
Oh, dear me, those nasty things. Look, you really must find a better boarding house, number two, really.
Oh, no, not bed bugs, Mr. Lennox Brown. Love bugs, you know.
Oh, yes, of course. Tell me, who's the lucky lady, number two?
Well, she's not what you'd call a lady, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Mildred.
It's Miss Bentwhistle for the typing pool.
Gloria.
Gloria Bentwhistle. Oh, she's the new girl, isn't she? I haven't come across her yet.
Oh, number one, she's the loveliest thing you've ever set eyes on. She's got legs like...
Chipolata sausages.
And her hair. Her hair's a smashing sort of golden colour.
Aye, like a soaked mango pip. I've seen breed better air on bacon.
Jealousy will get you nowhere.
Number two, no more bickering. Look, let's forget all about it and get back to work. Can't have you mooning about like a lovesick calf, you know, really. Surprised that you're going all gaga with some chit of a girl in the typing pool. Come in.
Excuse me. Excuse me, but might this be the general assistance department?
Most certainly. No. Yes, it is, yes.
Gloria, that is Miss Bentwhistle.
Do take a chair.
Allow me.
No, please allow me.
Well, it's ever so kind of you both, I'm sure, but really I can't stay.
Oh, can't you, Miss Bentwhistle?
I'm afraid not. You see, I'm standing in for Miss Bentwater.
Oh. That means you're working for Sir Gregory.
Well, I suppose you'd call it that. It's not easy, you know. He's on the go the whole time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, so we believe.
Anyway, he sent me with this very urgent memo for your immediate attention.
Oh, yes, of course, our immediate attention, yes.
Gloria, please, one moment. Before you go, our Crunchy Wunchy Breakfast Club has its annual general meeting tonight. I wondered if you'd do me the honor of...
Oh, no, I'm so sorry, Mr. Lamb, really I am. But Sir Gregory says I'll be working overtime every night this week. Oh, well, I better be popping off, I suppose. Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now. Has almost a musical quality, hasn't it, number two?
Yes.
General Assistant Department.
By me, Mary.
Actually, I haven't had a chance to read your memo yet.
No, I thought not. Anna Domini.
Anna O'Domini. Oh, yes, I've heard of her. One of those Irish MPs, isn't she? Yes, jolly good.
Anna Domini, you nit.
Oh, I see.
Advancing years. Now, listen carefully, Lennox Brown. I want one of you to go down to Pukesbury and get on to Waburu.
Then I'll have to hand you over to my number two, shall I? He's splendid with animals, you know.
A guru, Lennox Brown. An Indian mystic. Chap by the name of Ramilal Poonilal. We've heard via the grapevine that he discovered the secret of eternal youth.
Oh, really?
This could be the greatest discovery man's made. A couple of cabinet ministers are very interested. I want this matter treated as urgent, so don't bother.
We're on our way, Sir Gregory.
Are you? Where to?
To Pukesbury, Sir Gregory.
Where in Pukesbury?
Where? That's a jolly good question, yes. Where, Sir Gregory?
I'll give you the address, shall I? Eden Hall, Apple Grove, Pukesbury. Have you got it, Lennox Brown?
Yes, Sir Gregory.
Go on, then get cracking. Get off to Victoria right away. There's a train leaving in half an hour.
We'll make it, Sir Gregory, never fear. And do give my kind regards to your dear old lady. We've been cut off. Come on, number two. We've got to run down to Pukesbury.
Oh, I say, can't we go by train?
We are going by train, number two. We are going by train. We're off to Victoria. It's the wide open spaces for us again. Come on now, and goodbye, Mildred.
Goodbye, Mr. Lennox Brown. Goodbye, Mr. Lamb. Oh, peace at last.
Ooh, where I spoke too soon. Hello!
Miss Murphy. I want to speak to Mr. Lennox Brown before he goes.
Well, you could have done if he hadn't, but you can't because he has.
What was that again?
I said, well, you could have done if he hadn't, but you can't because he has.
You mean he's gone already?
Aye, him and Mr. Lamb.
Pity. There's one thing I forgot to mention. This Eden Hall place they're going to.
Yes, Sir Gregory.
I believe he's some kind of nudist colony.
I say, Harry. Oh, come and have a quick butcher's over here, will you?
What is it then, Sydney?
It's this barometer, Harry. Look at it. It's plunged right down to freezing.
So, what about it?
Well, I mean, it's a bit thick, isn't it? Me capering about me birthday suit in this sort of weather. I'll catch me death, I really will. I mean, I'm nothing but a mass of goose pimples from head to toe. Go and look at me.
That's something I try to avoid, Sydney.
Yes, well, maybe if you let me wear one of those lovely pale pink body stockings.
I've said it before and I'll say it again, Sydney. You can't have people walking about a nudist colony with clothes on. It's not decent.
It's just to think I gave up a good part in a West End musical to come and work here. And all we need here is some nosy cop to come snooping around and we've had it, Harry, we've had it.
Now, I ask you, Sydney, who'd ever think this delightful naturist reserve was the distribution point for the fastest slow gin ever sold on the illegal market?
The fastest slow gin?
Yes. Pity we can't advertise. I had a bloke and his girlfriend knock back half a bottle between them. Straight after it, he ran a 3-minute mile. He couldn't catch her, though. We had to lasso them both to pull them up. Not surprising, really. You don't often find gin that's 150% proof.
Yes, that's true, Harry. Nice name, too. Rejuvo, the perfect pick-me-up.
Yes. A couple of drinks and they're lying waiting to be picked up.
Yes. Well, I suppose it's all right so long as the police don't pick us up.
Not a chance. Coming here with sheer inspiration, deserving of congratulations.
Congratulations, Harry.
Thanks, Sydney.
But tell me, Harry, why do we have to use that Ramilal Poonilal bloke? All he does is sit in his bed of nails meditating.
He's the bloke with all the contacts. Now, listen, Sydney. He's got a couple coming down sometime this week. Big buyers and distributors from London. So you keep an eye open for them, see?
Don't forget, number two, these Indian mystics have strange customs, so be prepared for anything.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome to Eden Hall.
Good heavens, number one. He's got no clothes on.
Hasn't he?
No.
Oh, I thought he was wearing pinstripes. You don't usually see veins like those, do you? Good morning. Sorry to pull you out of your bath.
I have not been taking a bath. If you're referring to my lack of attire, this is the way Dame Nature intended us to be.
And what a dame.
My name is Starkers. Harry Starkers.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Starkers? I'm Roland Lennox Brown, and this is my number two, Richard Lamb.
Pleased to meet you.
Actually, we've come to see Mr. Ramilal Poonilal.
Yes, but first things first. I'm sure you're longing to shed all that unsightly apparel. Mr. Lennox Brown, you take the cubicle on the left, and Mr. Lamb, the one on the right, if you please.
No,
come along, number two. It's all in line of duty, you know.
I wish you wasn't.
Hey, Sydney, come over here.
What's up, Ben?
Looks like these are them, the big buyers from London. Look now, I'll slip down and tell Ram they've arrived. You bring them two along as soon as they come out, right?
Right you are, Harry. Are you ready, number two?
Ready, number one.
Number two, look, don't be ridiculous.
Look, you can't walk about holding a chair in front of you the whole time. You look like some kind of a bullfighter.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd do anything for a cape. Anything!
Good day, gentlemen. Mr. Stark has asked me to look after you. I'm Sidney Rippington Cheek.
Is it painful?
Pardon? Oh, are you being droll? Yes, you chaps are none and all the same. Now, I'll take you along to Mr. Poonilal. Whoopsie, mind out for that rose bush.
Too late.
Yes, well, watch it next time. You don't do yourself an injury, do you?
I just did. Great Scott, do look at this simply hideous statue on that rock next to you.
What happens? Oh, it's grotesque, isn't it?
Oh. That's no statue. That's Ramilal Poonilal, the Indian mystic. Or the mystic Indian, whichever you think of first. Well, I'm off then. Toodaloo, you two.
Toodaloo to you too.
No, never mind about him, number two. We're in reach of the secret of eternal youth. Don't you realize this is the great guru? Now, down on your knees and your forehead pressed to the ground.
Why are we being shot at?
No. Just a form of obeisance, that's all. Salams, O wise one.
Greetings, great guru.
My goodness me. You English people have the strangest custom. Would it not be very much simpler if we shook hands?
Well, now that you mention it, I
take it you are the gentlemen who are coming from London.
Yes, but how did you...
Shh, number two, he's obviously clairvoyant. And then I take it you know the purpose of our visit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm spending all day yesterday filling bottles for you.
Shh, look. This is the eternal youth stuff, number two.
Oh, yes.
A great guru, does this elixir really work?
Yes, indeed. I'm constantly using it myself.
Then it must be rather a long-term business.
My goodness, yes. If you get caught.
I take it you have a laboratory on the premises?
Oh, yes. And a bathroom, too. But you must be trying a sample of Rejuvo first. Yeah, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Do you not feel it tickling your palate?
I can feel it burning my feet.
You're standing on a cigarette end, number two. Mr. Poonilal, I'm sure this is exactly what we're looking for. We'll take 6 cases for a start, please, and deliver it to Sir Gregory Pitkin, Pitkin Towers, Pitkin's End, Bucks.
Oh, I with pleasure, gentlemen.
And I think we'll stay around here for a couple of days. What do you think, number two, eh? Number two. What a funny time to go to sleep.
Miss Bentwistle.
Yes, Sir Gregory. Do you want me?
Yes, now take a letter to the Minister of Health. Dear Minister, I am sending you another 6 bottles of Rejuvo as requested. Obviously, you have found, as I have, that it has remarkable properties.
How do you spell that, Sir Gregory?
Spell what? Oh. A sense of fun, too, eh? What have you got on for lunch?
Nothing, Sir Gregory.
But a sensible girl. Excuse me while I have another dose of my tonic. Remarkable stuff, this, Miss Bentwistle. I'll tell you about it at lunch, shall I? Better still, after lunch. Everybody in the cabinet's using it. They say it's doing them a world of good.
This Rejuvo is doing me a world of good, number two. It's a world of good. I lost all that tenseness, you know.
Yes, so have I.
Jolly good.
Seem to have lost all my clothes, too.
My dear chap, have you forgotten we're still in the Eden Hall Nature Colony, finding the secrets of eternal youth, and we're getting a nice tan, aren't we?
Yes, of course. Do you know, I've never been so brown there before.
Well...
I don't usually show my knees.
Oh, I see. wonder what's going on back in dear old London. Look, switch on that portable and let's hear the news, shall we?
Concluding three short works for violin, tambourine, and euphonium, and bringing to an end today's edition of the Bottom 20. And now here is the news read by Mortimer Thrupp. Wild scenes were witnessed in Trafalgar Square last night, when several middle-aged men jumped into the fountains shouting that they had come to wash the lions. No importance is attached to the incident apart from the fact that all the men concerned were cabinet ministers. Several recently opened bottles of an intoxicant called Rejuvo were later found at the foot of Nelson's column. Nelson himself was reported to be swaying slightly.
Did you hear that, number two? Rejuvo's an inox. It's booze.
Absolute nonsense. It's the elixir of life. Swamilal Spooniwal says so.
There they are. Oh, the deceitful things.
So, what are you doing? Are you trying to take the monkey and make a Mickey out of me?
I beg your pardon, old chap?
Two gentlemen have just arrived from London. They say they're the buyers we were expecting. And if they're the buyers, who are you two?
Are you deceiving me?
Loud and clear.
No.
Number two, you've got it all wrong. We're not receiving him, we are deceiving him.
So you are admitting it then.
Look, number one, he's got a knife.
Where?
He had it tucked in his turban. Do you think he's cross with us?
Don't let's wait to find out, number two. Let's run, boy. Go!
And here are some more news read by Mortimer Thrupp. Two civil servants wearing only bowler hats and furtive expressions were arrested in Pukesbury today. Their names are being withheld until the necks of skin have been informed.
What a to-do. Charlie Brown and Snoopy are in prison. Sir Gregory's in a nursing home and the British Cabinet's in disgrace. The only thing them two haven't done is set fire to Buckingham Palace. What? You've just heard the fire engine? Well, it can't be Mr. Lennox Brown and Mr. Lamb because
they... Good afternoon, Mildred.
Ooh, well, it could be. Goodbye, Vernon.
What's the matter, Mildred?
Oh, you gave me such a turn. I thought you were in prison.
Oh, only long enough for us to expose everything, Mildred.
I thought that was why you were in prison.
No, I meant to expose everything about Barmy Swami and his friend Starkers. They're the ones in prison now. Eden Hall's been closed and we've been given the freedom of Pukesbury.
Well, I never.
Didn't you? You need rejuvenation.
That will do, number two. The subject is corked.
I say, Mildred, how's Gloria?
Oh, Gloria. Oh, haven't you heard? She's in a nursing home, too.
In a nursing home?
What do you mean, in a nursing home, too? Who else is there?
Sir Gregory.
Sir Gregory? Number two, do you hear what we've done? Dear old Sir Gregory, lying there on his bed of pain, dying for all we know. Who put him there? We did. We and Rejuvo.
Don't I? I can't stand it.
No.
You don't have to. Oh. It wasn't you or this Rejuvo that put him there.
What was it then?
It wasn't what or what. It was a who. The same that put Gloria in hospital.
Who then?
It was Lady Pitkin.
Seeking the secret of eternal youth tonight as the men from the ministry were John Simpson and Roger Service. And draining the dregs were Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, John Meehan and Pat Simpson.
The Men from the Ministry was written by Margaret Milner Smythe and Tom Meehan, who also produced the show in the Durban studios of Springbok Radio Productions.